Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, Odyssey.
The Earth, the core of the Solar Federation, has known an extended period of peace and prosperity. But now, tensions with the neighboring Galman Empire threaten to pull the galaxy inexorably into war. With the approaching death of the Galman Emperor Deslok, the Federation has dispatched a diplomatic mission to Galmania, throne world of the Empire. At Deslok's request, the delegation travels aboard the space battleship Argo. Now the Argo has finally arrived at Galmania. The Star Force behold a world ready for war on a galactic, perhaps even universal scale. Thousands, millions of warships orbit the core of the Galman Empire. Untold military might that could sweep over and through the peaceful Solar Federation like a farmer harvesting grain. On the bridge, the crew is dumbfounded by the sheer display of power, until Pulsar, the communications officer, breaks the spell.
Captain, we are being hailed from the planet.
On screen.
Attention, Argo. This is Junior Undersecretary Tenalp of the Imperial Political Office. Are you receiving?
I'm Captain Madeline Venture of the Solar Federation battleship Argo. We are receiving you.
I am instructed to inform you that a diplomatic reception will be held at the Imperial Palace at 2130 Planetary Mean Time. A formal escort will be dispatched.
In an hour. We'll be ready.
Also, be advised that while protocol allows you an honor guard, all alien visitors are required to be unarmed at all times while on planet.
Of course. We understand.
Landing coordinates are being relayed on a sub-channel, as is an appropriate vector.
Excellent. We appreciate your hospitality.
Do not deviate from the assigned vector, or your ship will be destroyed. It has already been targeted by our planetary defense grid.
Huh. Friendly, ain't they?
Definitely. Mr. Jacobs, follow the supplied vector, but let's be a bit cautious with our speed. Everyone else, stay alert.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, Captain.
The Star Force approaches the gray-green world with trepidation. Breaking through the ominously dark clouds, the crew behold their destination. Whatever the natural terrain might have once been, now it is a vast plain of dull metal, dotted with regular lines of civilization. Streets crisscross the sprawling city at regular intervals, while towers almost rise to the cloud layer itself. Their landing coordinates are on the coast of the primary continent, amidst what looks to be a large military base on the periphery of the capital itself. At length, the Argo's keel settles into the wide bay of the capital city's harbor, and the ship is guided to her berth.
Landing complete, Captain.
Main engine throttled down to idle. Auxiliaries to standby.
Excellent. Everyone else button up your stations and let's settle the ship in for a nice rest. Chief?
Captain?
David, you'll have command while myself, Mr. Montgomery, and the diplomatic party are away. Your top priority is fixing the power drain issue. Draft whomever you need.
Consider it done, Captain.
Good. I can't stress enough how delicate our position here is. Best behavior isn't good enough. We need this to go smoothly, at all costs.
We won't let you down, Captain.
A Galman shuttle, dispatched by their political office and escorted by a dozen fighter craft, soon arrives at the Argo to fetch the delegation from Earth. Captain Venture and her first officer, Reginald Montgomery, in their full dress uniforms, and Senator Lane, Ambassador Sheridan, and Edward Morgan in civilian finery are greeted aboard the shuttle by a serving android, who escorts them to seats in the plush passenger cabin.
Do you require any refreshments?
No, thank you.
How long is the flight to the palace?
It is a brief journey. Perhaps 15 Earth minutes. I have already signaled the pilot that we are ready to depart.
And with that, the shuttle gently lifts into the sky, its escorts gathering in close around. Sure enough, after a brief time, their destination comes into view. The Imperial Palace of Galman is a wonder to behold. A soaring collection of spires and arches, held aloft by cunningly hidden technology. It is grace and beauty aligned with power and control. It stands as a statement to the entire universe that here resides your center. Here resides your emperor.
My God, that place is immense.
Our hosts don't do things in small ways, do they?
You think that scarcely half a century ago, this world was a blasted wasteland. Oh, it's truly impressive.
The shuttle lands and the party from Earth are escorted to their place in long queue of guests. Eventually, they are announced to the assembly.
Presenting the delegation from the Solo Federation, their ambassador, Colonel Benedict Sheridan, Senator Paul Lane of Earth, Mr. Edward Morgan of the Resources and Colonization Economics Office, and Commander Reginald Montgomery III and Madeline Venture, Captain of the Solar Federation Battleship Argo.
With that last pronouncement, the temperature of the room seems to drop noticeably. High-ranking Galman military officials turn to cast inscrutable looks at the people from Earth. Civilians and diplomats who remember the name Argo are less guarded in their open hostility.
We're off to a smashing start, aren't we?
Well, this is why we're here. To try and improve relations with whomever follows Deslock into power.
Quite right, Senator. All right, gentlemen. Let's mingle.
Look at all the pathetic would-be predators.
Predators? More like scavengers hoping for some scrap of flesh from our table.
Ministers Jenner and Minya, I presume?
And you are?
Edward Morgan. I'm the Solar Federation's economic envoy.
Oh, yes. I vaguely recall hearing something to that effect. You're petitioning to establish a permanent diplomatic presence on Galmania, are you not?
That's correct, Your Excellency. The Emperor invited us here, but that is only temporary. We'd like to leave a formal ambassadorial presence, if we may.
Far from home, aren't you, human?
Indeed. The distance makes speaking to friends difficult, but to make new friends, we must all make sacrifices.
Indeed we must. Now I remember you, Mr. Morgan. How was your journey to our world?
Interesting, Your Excellency, most interesting. We were beset by pirates along the way.
The mighty Argo? Assaulted by freebooter scum?
No, not our ship. We came to the aid of another. The raiders were more formidable than you might expect.
Were they now?
I must admit, Senator, I'm not exactly comfortable in these surroundings.
Really? Scion of a fine military family like you? I'd have thought this would be old hat.
It's not that it's unfamiliar, but, well, it's not exactly my forte. People circling like buzzards, looking for the easiest possible advantage, scheming, backstabbing.
My dear boy, in the Senate, we call that Tuesday.
Ambassador Sheridan, who is that standing up on the dais?
The man standing next to the empty throne is Deslock's Major Domo, Masterson. He doesn't have an official position, per se, but these days, he's basically assumed to speak for the Emperor.
Then why is everyone giving him such a wide berth?
Masterson is cut from the same cloth as his Emperor, and neither of them suffers sycophants. The court knows better than to try to approach him. The first person to attempt to gain the Imperial Ear probably won't live to regret it.
That's an understatement. I heard a rumor once that Deslock executed one of his high-ranking officers for laughing at his own joke.
I heard that one too. And knowing Deslock, I believe it. There's a reason that man created the galactic-level empire in a single lifetime.
Captain Venture.
Admiral Rucali. I didn't know you would be attending, sir.
Merely doing escort duty. May I present my superior officer, Fleet Admiral Kine, Supreme Commander of the Imperial Military.
Captain? Ambassador?
Admiral, it's an honor to meet you, sir.
Admiral.
I wanted to meet you both before things become too progressed. These soirees are usually tedious enough, but the tension at this one, quite distasteful.
I agree. My prayers, sirs, for the health of your Emperor and the abatement of this tension.
Thank you, Ambassador. I do have some slight good news. I am no longer under diplomatic restraint. Could I interest you in that cup of coffee?
You could indeed, Admiral. Shall we? Admiral Kine, Captain Venture, please excuse us.
Go ahead. I wouldn't want to deny you that treat.
I don't believe I've ever seen Rucali so enthusiastic about meeting with a civilian.
They're great admirers of each other's military records, as I understand it.
Ah, of course. Bodhi Rucali has forgotten more of military history than I could ever hope to know.
You and I both, Admiral.
Let me take this opportunity, Captain, to express my gratitude for you coming so far.
It wasn't an easy journey. But if there's to be lasting peace between us?
Peace, forgive me, Captain, but if peace was your objective, why did you choose so problematic a vessel for your deputation? Surely you must realize the thinly veiled threat that such an infamous battleship carries with it, particularly to the ship's former enemies?
Excuse me, Admiral Kine, but I believe there's been a mistake. The Argo was specifically requested, not by my people, but by your Emperor himself.
Was it now? I see. Deslock loves his subtle games. Speaking of... My word, he's coming towards us.
Excuse me, Captain Venture. I am Masterson, Major Domo to Emperor Deslock. My Imperial Master requests you attend upon him at your earliest convenience.
Meanwhile, back at the ship, work continues to repair the Argo's energy conduit system. Having just completed her scheduled work shift, Susan Haruna has come to the ship's mess to grab a quick meal before returning for additional work in the ship's engine room.
Oh, Susan! We've got a free space over here. Join us!
Hey, Kinu. Tommy. Glad to.
Phew. Crowded today.
Full house, huh?
How's the repair work coming?
Erickson drafted our maintenance team to help.
Yeah, a lot of people are getting a crash course in Starship ECS lines. Hopefully we'll be done in a few hours, though.
Tried to volunteer, but they wouldn't take me.
Tommy, you tried to repair a toaster at the Academy dorm and burnt the building to the ground.
Yes, but before the walls caught, the unit did make fabulous toast.
Wait, I remember that fire. It was you?
The story's grown in the retelling.
Oh, hey, don't look now, Susan, but Cade just walked in.
Oh my gosh, really? Think we could squish in for him?
What is with you, Tommy?
Excuse me, Lieutenant Ogawa?
Yeah?
Sergeant of the Watch sent me to find you, ma'am. You have a visitor at the dock, a Garmin flight officer.
Huh? Okay, I'll be right there. Tommy, Susan, see you later.
Bye, Kinu.
Moments later, at a security checkpoint midway up the Argo's dock...
Lieutenant Ogawa?
Yeah, that's me. Hello, Dila.
It's good to see you again, Silk. I've come to extend an invitation.
Oh?
Later today, my squadron will engage in aerospace training exercises, war games to honor His Majesty. Part of them involve a time-honored tradition in the Galman military, a series of pride-of-place mock dogfights.
Pride-of-place?
We duel each other in the sky, with simulated weapons, of course. The winners within each squadron earn the right to lead in combat.
Oh, so your rank is determined by merit?
Somewhat. A commander will always outrank an ensign, but if the ensign is a more skilled fighter, then they should meet the enemy first, shouldn't they?
Eminently logical.
My superiors are extending a formal invitation to your captain. They'd like for you, and any other of your pilots who wish, to join us in this exercise. And I wanted to add my own hope that you and your lovely craft would participate.
Well then, I must defend my lady's honor after all. If the brass signs off, I am most definitely in.
Back on Earth, at the home of Jack and Mark Watts.
Dad, I'm home.
Oh, hey, kiddo. Good day at work?
Yep. Wow, get a little sun there, Dad?
Yeah, I bet. Been working on a little project up on Mount Singleton.
Project?
Yeah. Cleared a patch of land and started building a cabin. No power, no running water or anything like that, but it's up by that old ice cave we used to hike to when you were younger, remember?
Yeah, I remember. You did that in a day?
No, over the last month. Oh, I got a hype away from your mom today. Said she's got where she was going and hopes to be headed earthward again soon. Wanted to get together with us.
Great. Maybe you can put the good captain to work trimming logs.
You read the letter she sent yet? I saw it on your desk this morning.
Not yet. I'll get to it eventually. Well, I'm bushed. Good night, Dad.
Night, kiddo. Oh, Maddie. Whatever you're doing, I hope it doesn't cost you your son.
Masterson escorts Captain Venture through the corridors of the palace to a sumptuous, if somewhat small, sitting room.
Emperor Deslok will be here momentarily. Please, make yourself comfortable.
And with that, the Majordomo departs the way he came, leaving her alone in the room. Perhaps half a minute later, another door opens, and the center of the Galman Empire, the fulcrum of destiny himself, enters. The man before her is but a shell of the epic figure Deslok has cut through history. His hair is thin, and his frame trembling. His once resplendent uniform has been replaced with simple robes. But though he walks only with the aid of a cane, some shred of his pride must remain, for he disdains the assistant of the attendant who follows him in, and dismisses her with a stern glance. Rising to her feet in respectful silence, Madeline Venture ducks her head and waits as the Emperor makes his way to a padded chair, and sits gratefully into it before motioning her to the chair next to it.
Please, Captain, be seated. In the time remaining to me, I refuse to stand on such rigid ceremony.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Captain of the Argo, my dear, your family is as bound to that ship as I am, aren't they?
I suppose we are, sir. My uncle and parents all served aboard her at different times.
Indeed. It's amusing. Historians and other scholars drone on about what I've accomplished in life. But very little of it, nothing of note at least, would have happened without the Argo and her crew. As a young man, scarcely more than a boy, I rose to the throne of the world of Garmalon. But that is not accomplishment, merely an accident of genetics. It was the Argo and her crew that spurred the events that have forged our society.
I think you're overstating things, Your Majesty.
Humility. An Earther trait I wish more of my own people possessed. Myself not least.
With respect, Your Majesty, I would say you have earned your place, that you have little to be humble about.
Oh, really? And yet here I sit before you, waiting for my defeat, at the hands of the only unbeatable foe. In that way, I am like every other being in the galaxy. My other distinctions mean nothing at the end.
I...
Forgive an old man, Captain. I've grown quite maudlin of late. None of that is the reason I've called you here.
Sir?
It's true I asked the Solar Federation to come to Kalmania in the hopes of smoothing relations between my people and yours. But that is only the public excuse. I have no heirs. No close friends. I look about me and I find none but enemies. Even those loyal to my rule aren't truly fit to carry on the work. I dread the chaos that is to come, Captain.
One does not run an empire like this one by committee.
Indeed, no. No, the coming storm is one of my own making, and it cannot now be avoided, much to my bitter regret. When it breaks upon Galmania, it will consume everything. Even your Earth, so far away. Captain, forgive my wanderings. I brought you here now to tell you this. My state of health, it is not entirely natural.
What do you mean?
I have been poisoned. I do not know by whom, though I have suspicions, but I tell you in strictest confidence, I have been murdered.
Your Majesty.
Open that small box on the table. Inside is a message capsule. Take it with you. It contains all the medical data on my condition, as well as a list of those I think may be responsible.
Then can't you...
The Viper's hand remains hidden, and even I cannot accuse these men without proof. But perhaps my information can aid your people in what is to come.
Your Majesty, you keep speaking as though war is inevitable.
It is. Kine will see to that, I fear. His thoughts are of glory and blood, as if we haven't squandered so much of both these past years.
Thank you, Your Majesty, for your words and your warning.
In my life, I arrogantly wandered from battle to battle. Disaster to calamity. Debacle. I never saw how much blood was on my own hands until my friend, your predecessor, woke me to that fact.
My predecessor?
Derek Wildstar, former captain of the Argo.
Ah, I never knew him, I'm afraid. He died before I was born. But my parents spoke very highly of him.
A man of courage and conviction in my life. I think he may have been my only actual friend.
Not so, sir. You too are a man of courage and conviction. It may be presumptive as hell, but I would be honored to think of you as a friend.
The Argo is in good hands. The honor would be mine, Captain Venture.
The First Officer has approved the Gallman's request for the Black Tigers to participate in the Aerospace War Games honoring Emperor Deslock. Your orders are to prepare all planes with simulated weapon loads only and launch them from the stern catapults.
Yes, sir!
Friendship takes many forms.
Ready, starboard catapult for launch sequence. Cosmo Zero, A1 to launch position.
Here we go. You ready, Zero?
Affirmative, Silk. I'm at maximum combat effectiveness.
That's my girl. Control, Tiger Lead, Silk. All systems green. Ready to launch.
Some are forged through shared sacrifice and mutual experience. But I believe the best of them are born from common empathy, from compassion.
Raising T1 to catapult. Connecting.
Good see you. Ready to launch.
I only wish I could shield my friend from the coming storm.
Tiger Lead, launching.
You've been listening to Sea of Stars, Odyssey, Episode 5, a Forward Momentum production, based on the anime Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Yoshinobu Nishizaki and Leiji Matsumoto, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were Jessica Osborne as Madeline Venture, James Baylog as Cade Morgan, Alex Tran as Thea Holtz, The Hamerton as Stephen Jacobs, Shannon Hobby as Addie Beaumont, James Cleveland as Pulsar, Coor as Reginald Montgomery, Carly Walker as Susan Haruna, Alex Alesperu as Tommy Harrison, Taylor Carlson as Kinu Ogawa, Jeff Ashbury as Ambassador Sheridan, Matt Sego as Senator Lane, Finn M.K. as Edward Morgan, Thomas Drake as Minister Jenner, Stay Holland as Exchequer Minya, Josh Lambright as Admiral Kine, Luis Miscellaniano as Admiral Boti Rukali, Tom Dowdy as Minister Tenalt, Rebecca Thomas as Dila Rukali, Michael Charles as Lord Masterson, Andrew Wilson as Emperor Deslock, Angela Mendoza as the Android, Peter Jiang as Argo Security, Josh Clark and Zane Sexton as the Argo Crewman, and Ashley Lynn as Zero. This is Kyle Akers. The episode was written and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series comes primarily from the soundtracks of the anime Uchu Senkan Yamato 2199, based on themes composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda, as well as new works composed by Akira Miyagawa. Series-specific sound effects were drawn from the Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, as well as the Sound Fantasia Yamato CD. Sea of Stars Odyssey is a non-profit fan production, produced for the enjoyment of the fans. All rights to Star Blazers, Uchu Senkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted works mentioned or inferred herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, remain the property of their rights holders. No infringing claims are intended.
The skies of Galmania flash with artificial lightning. Deadly skill and fierce pride match pilot against pilot in sport rather than war. But it is no less deadly for all of that. And in this tense scene, Emperor Deslock's truth weighs heavily upon its secret bearer. Next time on Sea of Stars Odyssey, Episode 6, Fly Zero. The longest of journeys begins with but a single step.